joining me today on the podcast is Jim Robinson, man about town, town moderator, former town moderator, selectman, and longtime MCTV board member. So how are we doing today, Jim?
We're doing good.
Good. Do you recall the first time we met?
I don't.
Okay.
I know it was about 10 years ago, though, right?
Yeah.
And I remember where we were. I think it was before. Maybe it was the night I came in to apply to get on the board. It was before that?
No. No. Okay. This my first Jim Robinson encounter. Well, it's funny because being associated with MCD for so long, and then before I was working for Comcast, and I heard all these stories about various people in town due to some individuals.
Okay.
So you can imagine things okay. I've heard. So this is when you were town moderator still.
Okay.
You were doing your final town meeting preview show with Marzelli.
Okay. Sure. That makes sense.
And you and my first impression of you was that you were a complete a-hole. Because you are obnoxious, loud, and just as I remember leaving going, this guy is a jerk. Because that was the impression. It was you were just right. This is what we're doing. If you don't like it, tough. I run the show. You don't like it, the heck with you. We're doing this.
Plus, were some of my local fans in your ear at the same time, or was that later?
They were in my ear, but I think it was a combination.
So they didn't prejudice you. It was all my own doing. That's what gave you that first impression.
It was really. Maybe a little bit. I'd say maybe a little bit. I'd heard warnings from various people.
Okay. But was Cipolla still around in those days?
No.
He had gone?
No, it was the Wednesday night lineup was Pasevich.
Right.
And then Thursday nights was Parkus, and then afterwards was Kenny and Winslow.
Okay. I don't remember Kenny.
Kenny Jason?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes. So that was my initial Jim Robinson impression, in case you wanted to know. It was you and Marzelli.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, my God, what are these guys up to? So what made you join the MCTV board? You've been on it for nine years?
Yeah, I'd say close to 10.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I joined as soon as I left being moderator, which was 9 years ago, because I just finished out Jim Fitzgerald's ninth year, mm-hmm. and he replaced me, as you know. So 9 years ago. And it was two things. One was my selfish way of saying I'm not going away. I'm giving up the moderator's job, mm-hmm. but I am not going away. For those of you who think I'm a pain in the butt, get used to it because I'm still here. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of it was I spent most of my career in the cable industry, and every cable studio in those days, every cable office had a local studio, mm-hmm. and we used to separate it. We used to call it public access, mm-hmm. and local origination. And local origination was produced by the staff, our internal staff, LO, right. And I worked in Brockton for 4 years, and they had a robust operation up there, both from the public access and the local origination, and I was like, and it became a real fabric, which is kind of the central theme of what I'd like to talk to you about today. It became a fabric of our channel lineup. You didn't want to miss. There was this guy that had a show like David Letterman. He had a David Letterman, and he imitated Letterman a lot. But he had people coming in and out all night. It was a really big production, and I said, boy, that would be. Be great if you could do that here. But back in those days, it was a one-man band. It was you and maybe Chris.
Chris. I was hired in March, and we didn't hire Chris till August.
Right.
So I started in January, so I wasn't hired as the executive director until March. So I was on my own for 6 months.
Okay. Yeah. So you
6-7 months.
Well, you were there when I got there, though. Right. So I don't know. I don't know if Chris was there when I got there, but it was a long way from what we had in Brockton.
Yeah.
In Brockton, just on the internal side, the local origination, we had a department head. We had a news crew of like four or five on-air personalities, including a sports guy. Mm-hmm. And then we had three or four camera people, full-time employees. These were all full-time employees. And then we had the money that we allocated to public access. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
But I had also heard that you were upset with there was an issue of playback of that town meeting preview show, and that's what enraged you to join the MCTV board.
No.
That's what I had heard.
Playback what way? It wasn't playback
because
enough?
Because if you remember back then, all the government channel content was played out of town hall. No. So For those that are listening, can you imagine the content for each channel being played out of a different location instead of one central location? And poor Bev and Kate were stuck having to like set it up.
I do remember
and,
that.
Something happened where it didn't play.
Right.
And I had heard, I think, through one of them that, so Robinson was really upset.
So, which sounds possible.
Rightfully so.
Because it was very time sensitive. You know,
extremely.
We shoot that about 2 weeks before town meeting. And then as many plays as I can get prior to town meeting, the more, you know, up to speed or educated, if I can use that word, people will be about what's about to happen. So, so are you saying that in those days we would record it probably on VHS back in those days?
It was
right?
Actually we were finally starting to record on DVD.
Okay, oh, we were, and then we would bicycle the DVD down to
town hall. I'd have to bring the DVD to town hall, and put it in one of the DVD players, which was set up on a glorified egg timer.
Okay. And then if the egg timer worked, did it play automatically, or
yes.
did they have to manually push?
It would work automatically.
Okay, but if it didn't go on, they were supposed to do it. So they must have been happy when that changed.
Oh yeah, I was happy when it changed.
Yeah,
and a lot of that changed.
Yeah,
you were involved with the cable company before that, before coming to MCTV. Your work was in the cable company, right?
Yeah, but not in Marshfield.
Right.
I never worked in Marshfield for the cable industry, but I worked everywhere else in New England.
When you first got on the board, a MCTV member called you, quote, the biggest threat to public access in Marshfield. You laugh. I'm not going to say who it was. I think you know who it is.
Well, it'll be one of two people. What's
your thoughts on that, on being called that? And have you been a threat?
I've been the opposite of a threat.
I agree.
I'm the treasurer of the board, and that's the kind of the irony of that statement is, so here me and five other people, I could name them that are currently on the board. You volunteer your time. You in my case, I'm the treasurer, so I come in here probably twice a week, pick up the bills,
right.
And you and I have this good relationship that all nonprofits are supposed to have, you know, where it's a handoff. You don't have one person doing anything, so that there's a check and balance on, with all the money. So jumping past that, the point is, I physically pay the bills to keep this place open, and so that these two clowns, one of whom can come on here and call me names. So I pay the bills so that the lights will stay on, so they can call me names.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I completely get that.
Oh, I know you do.
Because I get in a similar manner, whereas, you know, I'm doing my best to keep the station running, and
right.
we go, and then we get harassed. Or in general, as
right.
a staff, we get
right.
harassed by.
Right. And our recent past president, he took it worse. And no one fought more for people's First Amendment rights and the right to say whatever they want to say. No one was more of an advocate than our past president, Joe Schran.
Yeah.
And yet he took more torpedoes than anybody else.
You think?
Oh, yeah. From those two guys, they used to give out his home phone number and tell people to call him at home and harass him over bad audio, you know, stuff that Joe Schran isn't going to be able to fix.
I'm trying. I'm trying who out of the board's gotten the most flack from members. I'd say probably you.
Oh, probably me. Yeah.
I'd say in total, you know, in the 10-year span of MCTV's history.
Oh yeah.
I think you're one, and Joe Schran would be number two.
I was out of office, public office in Marshfield for 8 years, and there's one guy who mentioned my name every single night, and it was never a compliment.
No.
I get a kick out of it that I'm under his skin that much.
I know you do. What was the state of things when you came here? And I mean, I've heard stories from people. And so what was community media like in Marshfield before MCTV? I've heard a lot of stories of it kind of being very much like the Wild West.
Well, it was so amateur, you know. It was so, it was like a one camera, you know, one horse town. It was a woman The model before the town created MCTV as a separate private nonprofit organization to run this show, it was run by the cable companies.
Yeah, Comcast,
who could care less about it. So it was underfunded, under-respected and understaffed. So it was, you know, you get what you pay for. And it was so, and that was for about 20 years. It was that. You had one person who was underpaid and asked to do more than what one person could possibly do. And then, and you know, and nothing went smoothly. The equipment got run down and abused. And
I remember coming in here when I started for Comcast and just amazed by the old equipment that was still being used on a consistent basis.
Wasn't it Adelphia then?
No, I was Comcast.
When you came in, it was Comcast already?
Yeah, was Comcast already. I came in September of 2007. That's when I got hired.
Okay.
But I had always heard stories of it being kind of like the Wild West, whereas the staff beforehand didn't really care and kind of let anyone do whatever they felt like.
Right.
It's led to some really colorful content.
Right.
So.
Right.
So what was MCTV like? You know, because MCTV was already started when you got here. I mean, compared to kind of where we are now, you know, it was in its kind of initial stages.
Yeah.
When you got here.
Well, you had a board. So like I was saying earlier, so when it was Adelphia, it was just completely neglected. When Comcast came in, it was abused. They said, yeah, we're going to give you less next year. We want to, we're going to go out of our way to make you miserable.
Yeah.
And then the town spun it off to MCTV and put a board in charge. And so now there was a tension, and it was a 9-member board.
It was 7 or 9.
Right. So, and it was that first group was a great group.
Yeah.
Andy Dubrowski and Joe Noga and
Catherine Rossmore Shields.
Catherine Shields, you know, from all different walks of life and everybody brought their strengths. Jason was on that board. You know, me, Joe Schran, and Mike Maresco was on that board.
There's a lot of I just remember being almost at times overwhelmed by the personalities.
Right. Right.
There's a lot of strong leadership personalities in there.
And I was going to say, and poor
Arnie
was squeezed in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, I outweigh Arnie by about 100 pounds, and the poor guy couldn't get a word in with me talking all the time. So
Arnie's found his ways to get us. Don't worry.
Oh yeah.
He got the nickname the human shovel around here for no particular reason.
Yeah.
He had a way of burying us with things at last minute. So, but I also find like our relationship between me as the executive director and you as the treasurer, we have a unique relationship because we see each other the most of the staff and board.
Right.
And what I've always appreciated is our ability to be very blunt with one another.
Right.
We can joke around, we can bust each other's chops with the same. But there's been times I've been on the receiving end of a flame throwing from Jim Robinson. I can think of one time in particular when we were talking about it. Joining up with a certain community a few years ago, and I called to get your support, and I received a yelling tirade. Maybe a couple of profane words were used here and there, and questioned my mental capacity at that point. That was a shock.
I don't remember that at all. I'm not opposed to using profanity when I think the moment.
One or two words. Right. It was more of a 10-minute tirade.
But it was. I imagine what my concern with that, and it's still going on today, that same potential merger, is you're only one person.
Right.
You're contracted back. You're literally in the early days contracted to give us 40 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And that meant you were going to be putting in 20, 40, 60 more hours someplace else. And everybody was going to suffer because we didn't have enough staff.
Yeah.
To pull that off, so I was definitely opposed to it. So, you know, and our president was loving it, and so especially when
it was just really funny. I'm just calling around. I was almost calling around to see where the support was, and
it wasn't for me.
No, it definitely was not for you. I was just like I remember just being like, I'm just calling to get your support and stop right there, and they got a 10-minute tirade, which was it just sticks with me to this day. What's been the biggest area improvement over the past several years since you've been here? Like, if you could think of one area from your perspective.
Area of improvement with MCTV?
Yeah, or areas of improvement, areas at MCTV.
Well, I would say that I've done an excellent job molding you into the man you are today. That would be the biggest area of improvement. That you were in your 20s when you started here, right?
I was 20. Let's see, I started about 25.
Right, right. So I, you know, between my flame throwing of mm-hmm. you know, warming up the clay and then taking my hammer and beating the clay into the fine, excellent leader you've become today. That's
so you're gonna take full credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm taking the hit on the profanity and the 10-minute screen.
Well, you were right. I was thinking, I'm not saying you were wrong. You were 100% correct in retrospect, because at the time we were also building this place, or about to start the building of this
place.
Correct.
That was another
one. And looking back on that was the worst summer of my life, was when we were building here.
Right. And I could see that coming.
Yeah, I think the issue was, I think we're the time we were very overambitious as a staff.
Right. So. Right. Well, moving into the high school was a right thing to do at the right time. It was a smart move for everybody. Little did we know that we would outgrow it so fast, but which is another subject I know you probably have in your list there. But back to it. So I don't want to take full credit, by the way, for that.
I'll give you most credit.
I was going to say this anyways. You've really matured into an excellent leader, and beyond what some of us thought you were going to be capable of doing. That's the truth.
I was gonna.
We didn't think that you were going to be able. I mean, you got an excellent staff, which is not. That's not a coincidence. That's not a. That doesn't happen by luck. That happens by knowing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so you pick the right people, and they really work well together. That doesn't happen.
Right.
There's always. I mean, what do you have, five now?
We have five.
Right. So, in my world, yeah. Say 10% of the people in this world are problem people.
Yeah. Easily.
You don't have that here, and so I've had it in every organization I worked in. I had a lot of employees of my own, and it just happens. So, you got a great staff here.
That's if when people ask me what's the best thing about this organization, I tell them the staff. We've been really lucky where we've had good people. Mm-hmm. And people that fit the time they were here. I mean, Chris. We all love Chris.
Right.
He's unique, a little different, but he was perfect for when he was here, because he understood it. He was beneficial into getting us going, and he left. You know, perfect timing. And then we brought Leslie into.
Yeah.
You know, she came in at a perfect time, and so it's kind of gone from there.
Yeah, Leslie was a big step up from Chris.
Yeah,
and Chris was. I would thank him if I ran into him today. I'd say thank you for your service.
He's
to
now
MCT.
Like a bigwig on the West Coast.
Is he? Well,
he moved Portland, Oregon, and he's working for their station. He's actually on their regional board.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he's gotten really into like the regional advocacy, and he fits in well up there.
Yeah, well, he's a bright kid.
Yeah.
But again, he was a kid. And I thought it was he was getting worn out, and so it was good for him to move on.
It was time for him to move on. I feel like, you know, he's someone that should be on the West Coast in Portland. That's his type of culture mentality. Yeah. You know, so he's very different. But you know, we still talk once in a while. But I think that's one thing about. Staffing here has been a big part, but going back to something you said about taking a chance on me. So I won't mention who it was, but we remember we had that open house in 2008, 2009. About
okay,
we had an open house here.
Here,
no, at the old place.
Okay, I don't remember it.
We did. You were there. I think you were there, or you maybe had something going on. But my parents showed up and they were talking to an unnamed board member. And that board member proceeded to tell my parents what a risky idea it was to hire me, and we took a huge chance on him, much to the dismay of my parents hearing that.
I'll bet. Yeah.
I won't say who it was, but you can probably take a few guesses as to who it was.
I could, but I'm not going to say it out loud.
Yeah. So I just remember hearing that night after I got home, being like,
I was there because I do remember. That's the first time I met your mother. I don't remember meeting your father though, so that's kind
he was
of
there,
odd.
Yeah,
maybe I was.
They were both there. What else did we want to talk about today? What's something on the other hand? What's something you think maybe we missed the boat on or made a mistake with?
In the last 8 years, you mean?
Yeah. Maybe some recent back then. You know, where have we kind of something that we missed the boat on.
We were slow to get a, to get, you know, to get us the staff here. Right. I would just say we were slow to get it done. Nothing jumps out at me as far as what we missed the boat on. It's really, you know, where I think we can get to compared to where we are now.
I'd agree with you on that. I think one of the biggest changes in my mentality has definitely been, I almost looked at adding more people as a failure on my part to do my job, you know, and I think our production manager kind of felt the same way. Mm. But I think as it's gone on, it's okay, we're doing more, we need, you know, more resources and people. So right. I really think that was the mentality of the staff right. back then. It's like,
and although
more abject failures.
And so we should, and so where we missed the boat on, and this is, to me, it's so obvious now that even though, you know, as a board member, I'm a part timer, you know, mm-hmm. I don't give this place the amount of thought that you do, mm-hmm. you know, but what we missed that we should have seen is that if on one hand we want to bring in some staff, and at the same time we're moving into a brand new school that isn't going to have the space for staff, how come some bell didn't go off and say, you know, where are we going to put these people? we don't even have enough parking for the half the staff we have now. Where are we going to?
Right.
So we walked into that.
And there's definitely days where it's like, it's a Zoom. You're like, I'll give you, like, you know, we're shooting this on, we're taping this on Friday the 25th. Yesterday was August 24th. We had all our college interns in here editing, one high school intern editing. And so literally it was like a zoo in here. Like, I think Jen had to work out of Studio B for a while until an open computer freed up.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a good thing. But at the same time, it's, you know,
right.
it's one of those growth things that
right.
we didn't realize.
And school's not in session right now, no. So parking's not the problem. It would be, it will be 2 months from now, right?
It can get bad now that fall sports has started.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of the Wild West out there. You know, if once it gets to 4 o'clock or
right,
we got a lot of the older tennis crowd taking our spots in the morning.
Right.
I don't know why they decide just to park in our spots and leave all the other ones open. I don't know what it is. It's one of those things that's boggled our mind over the past few weeks. What's the current state of MCTV?
Very healthy.
Okay. I thought I was gonna get more of that.
Well, it starts with economics. The economics are very strong here. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's key that the staff gets along well and they work together and that we're improving. You know, I'm a big fan of the government channel because that's my genre. I'm that generation of people, but. And what we're doing there is terrific.
What's something that you'd like us to do? What's something that you'd like to see MCTV do?
Would I like to see us evolve into?
Or, you know, maybe not evolve. That's actually my question afterwards. But, okay. You know, what's something you'd like us to do maybe over the next year? You know, saying, hey, I think that you guys should be doing this. Or looking at this. As a staff, we've been kicking around news, like doing a news show.
Yeah. Well, that's on my list.
That's on your list.
And that
you brought a list with you.
Well, I jotted down some notes coming in.
Oh, great.
And but news is, I wrote that right down here. And that's kind of what I meant by evolve. And the next year, you know, I really like that. Ocean in Maine mm-hmm. program that the in-house crew produces, you and Leslie, and I like the look of it. I like the way it's done. I like the subject matters that you guys grab, and I know it's a lot of editing to put that all together, but it's like a chronicle, you know.
Yeah.
And I like the show Chronicle.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's been a struggle over the past, you know, few months, because especially the past year, I was like finding good stories. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about doing news, and we almost feel like that show has almost become less chronically and more news. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to, once we launch a news show, we want to try to find that balance
right.
of, you know, these real in-depth features and whatnot. So,
but you could have crossover for both of them, right? You could use the same video package on the news and on the show. But I'm not pushing that, because let's just talk about news.
Yeah, it's suck news.
Because one of the things I'd like to see, and this is gonna require more staff or more hours or more or reallocating right. your staff. But like I said, there's some fascinating things going on in the town of Marshall
Absolutely.
Right now. And number one being the Charter Review Committee, which you are on.
Yeah.
Ironically, one of your three hats.
Exciting.
You have this job. You have that board that you're on. You're also on the chamber. You're the current president of the chamber, right?
Counting down the days till I'm no longer chamber president.
Right. So
Charter's gonna be a little bit longer.
Right. Well, that's number one. And the town is. We also have a screening committee to hire a new town administrator, mm-hmm. which is going to be huge. It's going to be a nice breath of fresh air.
Could be a potential town manager as well.
Correct. Because as a relationship to what the Charter is mm-hmm. doing or suggesting. So there's a lot of so I watch all of those meetings. And I mostly watch them on Vimeo, mm-hmm. but I, you know, watch them on TV.
Right.
I prefer to watch them on TV. It's much more comfortable
right.
than sitting at my office watching them on a computer. So where I was going is, since we have staff, and it's actually one person, that records all these meetings.
Yeah.
I would love it if. Like the local radio station does, they hang around afterwards, mm. and they grab the chairman and they ask some follow up questions. That if all that was on camera,
yeah,
that could be fresh news.
Absolutely.
But it's going to require a lot more hours to A, hang around, B, mm-hmm. record it, C, edit it, and get it all.
That's what we've been talking about. I mean, it's something I came from a news background, or you know, back in the dark ages of news. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you bring it up because we went to a conference in May and we're driving home, and two of the big ideas that came out of that drive home was we want to do a podcast and we want to do news. And so we've crossed podcast off the list. And so we've been talking about doing we've been developing the idea for a news program over the past since May. So that's at 3-4 months. So now we're at the process of looking at software and other supplies that are needed. What we want to do is we want to get broadcast journalism students to kind of do a lot of the production stuff. Like mm-hmm. we'll guide them. We'll work as the, we've talked to staff, let's work as the news director saying, here are the stories that need to be covered. You guys go out and cover them for us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what we want to do.
Yep.
That's the eventual goal. I yep. mean,
I told you this news program they had in Brockton.
Yeah.
That's who the on-air people were, mm-hmm. the journalism students.
Yeah.
And two of them, one of them is a cameraman,
yeah.
and the other one is a reporter.
Yeah.
That's still they work at New England Cable News now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we want. I mean, because that's what Newton does, and they've had a successful program. I think a few other stations do that. We have a lot of colleges, universities in this area. That mm-hmm. so that's what we're trying to do. What I think what's going to happen is that the staff's going to have to do that one before we get interns in, because getting interns can be tough. We've already been trying to get kids, and kids are like, oh, this might not fit my schedule,
right.
blah, 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 blah. So I feel like we're going to have to do it and then bring in the interns little by little.
Right.
So I think, but news is, I think, the next big project that we want to take on. And we've talked about maybe like a bi-weekly 30-minute newscast that mm-hmm. has all that. So I think that's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Great.
Our goal was to have it August 1st.
Right.
But
which would lead into one other point that I want to make is that ultimately where I'd like to see this going, if I'm mm-hmm. not jumping ahead in
no,
your questions.
No, this okay. is your podcast, Jim.
Okay.
You can go wherever you want. I just had topics.
The longevity of MCTV will be cemented if you have a product like that is irresistible, that people mm-hmm. can't live without it, that that it's something that people look forward to, the whatever this how often is played,
right.
that this is the weekly show and I don't want to miss it, or I'm yeah. going to record it, or you know, that it gives that insight into what's going on behind right. the scenes.
And also I think there's a need for local news. Unfortunately, the newspaper industry is dying. I mean, I love the Mariner folks, but they're struggling. ATD only covers so much, you know.
Right.
So I think having a central hub where people can get their local news in Marshfield is important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the next big thing. And if you're talking about, let's see, I mean, you just start talking about the future. What do you think the future looks like for us, for MCTV?
Well, I think everything we've talked about today is mm-hmm. is right on track, you know, right. for where we want to go. I think, and of course, you know, and I know that our franchise is up for renewal.
Yeah, November.
I was going to say renegotiation, but
renewal November.
And assuming that goes well, then we'll have another 5 to 10 years of just growth, mm-hmm. and I think at that point. It could be. It's like trying to live without your microwave. You know, it was fine when you didn't have one, but now that you have one, you can't live without it. And
true.
And same thing with, you know, cable TV, your cell right. phone. You know, things that become part of your life that you can't live without. That's where I'd like to see. And I think a news magazine of some kind right. would do that.
Do you think one of the things I've been thinking about, and do you think the structure changes in the sense that there's less member-produced stuff and more staff-produced stuff? Because in talking with my cohorts in other areas of Massachusetts, their membership numbers are down, or member-produced content is down. Do you think we follow that same kind of pattern, and the stuff that's produced out here is mostly staff-produced, or is it still members, or is it a combination? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you like you said, you go to these association meetings where everybody in your industry talks about where things are going.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they're on it. In fact, you know, I see that I get some of their emails, but I wouldn't like to see that. I'd rather us see a model where best example I can think of right now is the Audubon Society.
Right.
Are enthusiastic. It always starts with that enthusiasm to produce a show, and then they run into the work. They run into the wall where it's, okay, you got to come in, you got to get the equipment, you got to set it up, you got to do some pre-planning, you got to do all the recording, then you got to come back and edit it and then download right. it. And so that's where these things fall apart. I would love to see, and it's the same idea of your idea about the journalists. We can't, Sean's already putting in a 40-hour week too. Our government access coordinator, who records all of these government meetings for us, one guy.
Oh, we send interns. That's part of the high school intern's job
good,
too.
Good.
So he might be covering one in the other room. One of our high school kids is covering another one.
But you know what I'm thinking is, I'd like is have Sean. So have the intern record it, and then at the end have Sean with the microphone talking to Bill Bowers or talking to the chairman of the Conservation Commission or Public Works, and say, "So I heard you talking about this and that.
Right.
Could you explain that a little clearer for me?"
Right.
And then that becomes part of Ocean and Maine, or becomes part of the news
that's
program.
That's gonna be new. Yeah, I think that's where we're looking at the news program.
But my point is that manpower wise, there's only so much you can handle here of internal staff. So I think you need, as a model, the model needs to be using interns, using journalism students, and using members, community members who are volunteering to spend their time producing these shows.
That's the one thing I think we need is more volunteers. We have a lot of show producers, but we don't have a lot of people that are saying, "I just want to volunteer."
Right.
So I think that's the challenge that, you know, and Kayla and I have been talking about this,
right.
is, you know, getting more volunteer types.
Yep.
We have a lot of people that want to do shows, but when you are looking for volunteers, no one wants to do anything unless it's one or two things.
Well, I think that the opportunity and what you might be missing is, I could tell you from my personal experience, mm-hmm. when I first got on the board here and Arnie was... Arnie had his show, Meet the Candidates, mm-hmm. and Meet Marshfield, and he had different shows. He asked me if I would help him produce the show by coming in and running mm-hmm. the control board. Well, that was the problem is at my age it's hard to retain all of
right.
that, and it's because it's a little complicated, it's a little intimidating, but it was thrilling, and I mean that.
Yeah,
it was thrilling to learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't learned anything new in 10 years. Because I had run my own company for 13
right.
years.
Mm-hmm.
I had been, you know, moderator for 9 years. It's the same job. It's perfecting what you do, but it wasn't anything brand new. And this was something brand new that I was learning, and it was like a new skill. I felt like I was a college kid again, learning all new stuff. And I think that if we can get that out to, if people understand that this is actually fun. you know, you're a volunteer. There's no pressure. You're not gonna. Mm-hmm. No one's gonna fire you.
Right.
You know, if it's, we're just gonna retrain you and retrain you until you get it right, and which is what. You know, and Bob Marzelli did the same thing.
I was just thinking of Bob.
Yeah. But we had Leslie or someone else standing over our shoulder.
Right.
Or you, you know, helping us.
Yeah. I think one of the things we have been involved, I don't think we talk about enough, is that there's more staff involvement with productions now probably than there ever has been. And it's sometimes it's hands-on, sometimes it's being guiding hands, you know.
Right.
You know, pointing in the right direction, you know.
Right.
You know, so I think that's something, the way we're going. Do you think we're still in MHS 5 years from now?
No.
No? Are we a regional organization at that point?
No.
No? Not if you can help it?
Well, that's my opinion. We may be, and we may be here 5 years from now, but we may be... but we'll be limited on, you know, like what we just talked about in a news magazine with interns running in and out, journalists running, like in Brockton, I was telling you, so these guys would come in late, you know, they worked late, you know, they worked late, so they would...
They start at 4 o'clock.
Right, and so they come in and, you know, as a cameraman and a mm-hmm. and an on-air person, and they come rushing in, grab all the equipment, run out, and that kind of hectic... activity will not work in this shoebox that we're in right now.
True. Here's a question for you. You know town government inside out, backwards, forwards. You know the players. What's our relationship? What do you think our relationship is like with town government? How do you think they perceive us?
Well, for the most part, I would say they ignore us, which is okay with me. The more recently they've been paying, well, because our franchise is up for renewal, they're required now to pay attention to mm-hmm. what we're doing. So we're supplying them with information, and I liked it better when they were just ignoring us.
I think it's changed dramatically over especially since when we started, because due to some of the individuals. You know, some people that produce shows can be a little anti the local government.
Oh yeah.
I felt that there were some people in town that thought the staff was in agreement with them.
Well, that's but we talked about this in the beginning. Yeah. Some of our local access shows are 100%. Their whole mission is to come into the cable studio and talk for half an hour, an hour. Rant about all the terrible things town officials are doing, 80% of which is either made up or not true. At least 80%.
At least.
There's one individual, he says all the time, well, here's something that could be true, and then he just makes something up. And again, these town officials are all volunteers too.
Right.
All the elected appointing people are volunteers. And these clowns come in here and criticize them about everything they do. And so you wonder why town hall says, you know, I wish that studio would just go away.
Right.
But our job is to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right.
And so that, not that we're in conflict with town hall, but they don't understand our mission.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And your job and your staff. Right.
And I feel like at the earlier stage, there was a lot of, not a lot of trust in the staff, because I think a lot of folks thought, you know, hey, they're with them, you know.
Right.
Whereas I think now it's changed, you know, for the difference. But I think a lot of people, more people than we think, watch those shows mm-hmm. just to hear what people have to say.
Right.
I remember hearing that from several people who I was surprised admitted to watching various, right. you know, programs.
And part of what happens is, so you have one guy on a soapbox, and he says all these things that aren't true about somebody. Mm-hmm. The guy who he's saying it about doesn't come in and counter it, and he just ignores it. But people who are watching it, you believe it, because most people are good people. They're decent people. So they accept what you're saying. It was probably true. So, and I remember when Chris was here, mm-hmm. and there was other shows, and they would do the same thing. And then I would come in, and Chris is like, yeah, he's that guy. he's that terrible person they keep talking about.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, buddy, you just spend too much time with these people.
Yeah.
I'm not anything close to what these guys say I am. It's just that I'm not going to come in and I'm not going to help their ratings by going on the show with them. You know,
that'd be hilarious. Your former town moderator should tell me be live on air.
That is a very good question.
It's probably the most watched thing that we do all year.
Yep. My personal opinion is yes, definitely, and it's because of that. I have a lot of family that lives in town, and they all watch it live. I wish they would come to town meeting and participate. I really do. And the reason that they don't is they don't have to, because we, MCTV, provide them a vehicle so they don't have to come. They get to sit home and watch it. And I remember my brother-in-law, when we were in the gym, the camera was up on the bleachers, the top half of the bleachers.
Yep.
And we would call for voice votes back in those days.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, you're getting some of those votes wrong. I said, No, I'm not. He said, well, the problem was the camera was only picking up the audio.
The camera, the mics only pick up room sound.
Right. But the point was it was picking up the sound from that part of the room,
right. Yeah.
Not the whole room. And so it was a little misleading, but I thought that was hysterical. but that was his reality.
Yeah.
He's never been to a town meeting ever. And you know, he's from Dorchester. Moved down here. He couldn't even tell you what a town meeting is or a moderator.
I asked that because I had a former town administrator in another town say if he could change anything, he would make town meeting live.
Because it would help the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it would. But and other people have said, you know, delay it a day.
Yeah, tape delay.
Do a tape delay, and you know, that's an interesting thought. You should know that, and this is another thing. So. You should know that the moderator has the authority to say no cameras.
Right. And where?
And you can't, no moderator would, you know.
I've always wondered what would happen at town meeting if, you know, they always vote to let the people that don't live in town that are officials, you know, stay on the floor. Mm-hmm. I was always curious what would happen if that didn't pass, the chaos that would occur at town meeting.
One year, someone objected to the superintendent of school speaking because he wasn't living in town at the time, and I believe the town meeting voted not to allow him to speak. It was humiliating. It was humiliating for the town that we're that kind of a town that we actually did that. It was quickly fixed, and it turns out there's a state law that specifically written that superintendents of schools can speak at a town meeting even if they're not a resident. Literally.
I had to tell the town meeting taser story recently. Because we were going to Canada for a trip, and we got stuck, you know, you go through customs, you go through the border, so the customs agent asked, you know, do you guys have any knives, guns, weapons? And he goes, tasers. And the first thing that came, and as soon as he said that, all I could think of was the infamous town meeting taser story.
Right.
And I started cracking up in front of the customs, right in front of the border patrol guy.
Yeah.
And he asked me, and he looks at me like, do you have any tasers? And so I had to tell my entire car that was the town meeting taser story.
Right.
They thought it was hilarious, but they didn't find it hilarious at the time. I started giggling when the customs agent asked if we had tasers.
We've had some stories.
Mm-hmm. We do. Yeah, it's. I actually look forward to town meeting, broadcasting it. It's painful at times, but it's actually you get a kick out of it because it's entertainment. The interns do it with us, so you kind of get their take. It's funny getting their take on town meeting.
Right, right.
And the comments they make about stuff. Right. It's really.
Yeah, I understand they give people code names.
There's been a lot of games that we've had over the years. People have nicknames, or we've done celebrity impersonators. We've had celebrity impersonators throughout the years. Our first year, one of our interns gave everyone their own theme music. This year's town meeting, there was a few moments where everybody just started laughing about him, and it became like an internal joke. We can talk about that off air.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anything else that you want to talk about? I'm pretty much out of my...
No, just that, you know, there's a lot of big things happening in the town of Marshfield. Mm-hmm. A year from now, town hall is going to look very different.
You got predictions?
No, because
Yeah, I put you in the hot seat right there.
Well, no, predictions about, I don't know, the first thing that's going to happen is we're going to pick a new town administrator. Then, like a couple of months later, we're going to go to town meeting, if everything's on track, go to town meeting and have a vote on the charter, mm-hmm. the charter review's recommendations, which may be modified by the selectmen. And so, and then that town administrator may or may not morph into a town manager. Mm-hmm. So, and then if everything that I've seen the charter review committee suggest, which is, you know, what we need is a manager, mm-hmm. and this, you know, some unknown person who's with vast experience, some grizzled right. veteran from some other town
right.
comes in here who's fairly compensated, and he runs this town like he ran his other town,
yeah,
or she,
he or she,
yeah, and and now they hire the other professional staff, mm-hmm. and with consultation of the chairman of the different boards. But these staff people don't work for those boards anymore. Right. They now work for the manager, like any other corporation, right. like in my company. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be paramilitary. It just has to make some sense. There has to be an org chart. So,
right.
And I think all that makes sense. Although it, you know, makes me nervous because I'm, you know, I'm a townie. We've done things
for this townie.
Certain way for a long time. Mm-hmm. But it's that's going to be an interesting process, and I just hope that your committee, I've never seen a better group of people put in more time on anything in the 40 years I've been involved in town government. I've never seen a stronger, classier group of people
yeah.
than the nine you have put in more time on something so important that I just hope the powers that be don't screw it up and let it go the way it should go.
Yeah, I mean we're not pulling things out of the sky. There's been a lot of data, a lot right. of analyzation, and a lot of hearing from people and talking to people. So
and comparing to other communities.
Yes.
Right. A lot of research.
Yes. So that's where we're at.
I've watched every meeting and it's been good. And this you took the long road. You know, they said there are a lot of people that are going to want to throw their two cents in on this.
Right.
And you guys have sat there for about a year just yeah. listening to people throw their two cents in, including me.
Well, I think you have to. You have to do that in a situation like that. You can't you can't be closed-minded. You can't
but
say...
But it takes you twice as long to do it.
But also, I think it allows for buy-in. That's the big thing. At the end of the day, this has to go to town meeting, and the people have to vote on it.
Right.
So.
But they have to trust it.
Right.
And that's
what and I think it's more important that... they know that they've had their say.
Right.
They may not
yep.
like it, but they know they had an opportunity to have their say in front of for it. So.
Yep, absolutely. So. Okay.
Well, good. Thanks very much for doing stuff. This, Jim.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
I enjoyed it.
You're the first non-staffer intern to do it, so.
Well, you know me. If it's a microphone, I'm usually easy to find.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Thanks.